It's so cool. It reminds me of that. I don't know if you heard that fable, see if I can get it right, about the Mexican fisherman. There's a business guy. He lives in New York. He's like a broker, makes a lot of money, and he's on vacation with his family, but everything, like all the numbers, is still spinning in his head. So he wakes up super early in this beautiful village, and he walks down to the dock, and he just sits there, and it's so quiet. And then this little Mexican fisherman comes in with his little boat with this amazing tuna. He's like, wow, those are incredible. And he asks him, like, how many did you catch? I caught three. It's like, why didn't you catch more? And the fisherman explains, yeah, this is enough. I'll go and sell them now. Then I'll go home. I'll be with my family. I'll take a nap. And I hang out at the night. We go out to the village. We play some guitar. We drink some wine, have some fun. And then I wake up tomorrow morning, fish again. And the New York businessman is like, no, you're so good at this. I know what you should do. You should start fishing more so you can make more money. And once you have made more money, you'll buy a bigger boat and you'll expand to Mexico City. And all of a sudden you have this huge business, and then we'll go to Wall Street and make an IPO mm-hmm. and you'll make a lot of money. And then you can relax and sell and be in your little village.
Yeah.
So basically, you can do all this work to get where you are right now.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the punchline. The fisherman is like, well, I'm doing that now. Why do I have to go do all of that other stuff just to get back to enjoying what I can already do?
But don't we forget that a lot of times, that we have everything we need?
I mean, it's difficult to say everybody has everything they need, right? Yeah. This country is suffering the worst income inequality we've ever seen. So there are a lot of people out there who are struggling, who don't have that luxury of being able to take a nap. And I don't say that flippantly or lightly, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm lucky to be in this situation myself.
Yeah.
I think that you do need to have that struggle. I think, you know, in the beginning sometimes it's the same for everybody, where you have to figure out how to like not suck at things so people give you money so you can survive.
Yeah.
And so I think what's different though is if you do make it to, your 30s or your 40s, and you say you're a white collar worker, right? What is happening is that so many people, and I speak to people all the time that I call purpose refugees, people who are exceptionally talented, who are making lots of money, have a nice title, but their soul is empty. And they're like, what am I doing this for? And my job is to help them figure out how to fill that thing in their soul, but do so in a way that is useful and, helpful to their company, right? And that's where the two halves of what I do link together. I believe that corporations are the greatest force for good on the planet. If the people inside those corporations can lead them towards doing that. The way to lead those people, for those people to lead those corporations, is to light a fire inside of themselves, right? And so my job is to light those fires, is to inspire them to take action, but then also show them the model and say, here's how you can do it. You know, that's what we do with Conspiracy of Love, the social impact consultancy.
Yeah.
So the two things are very interrelated. If I can give people meaning and purpose in their jobs, then through those corporations, they can help lots of people around the world, which will hopefully lead those people to also go on that journey to find purpose and meaning as well.